نسیم نسیایا ثیکم کوین نسب هایچ کسیم نسیم نسیایا انتس که خویا تلیت سیم خو ماس کوی مستیو Where do you go to cry? Where do you go to scream? Where do you go to sing at the top of your lungs and play instruments and be free? You can join UBC Cry Club. UBC Cry Club provides instruments and a judgment-free zone for people to let loose and be free using music as therapy. UBC Cry Club meets at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays at the Fraser River Parkade. For more information, go to M01E on Instagram.
MRG presents Garrett T. Willey at the Wise Hall, performing his debut album, Same Pain. This 23-year-old from Kingcome Inlet offers the world something it has genuinely been missing for a while, a contemporary take on hardscrabble blues and the purest, rawest rock and roll. Don't miss Garrett T. Willey's show at the Wise Hall on December 2nd, and be sure to catch his in-studio performance and interview on Noise Complaint by CITR 101.9, also on December 2nd.
Discover Noreen Braun's album, Songs for Trees, dedicated to the forests and the spirits within the trees. As we fight climate change, trees are the lungs of the planet and we need to help them. Her jazz and blues are blended with rock and synthesized pop elements to create a textured and ambient soundtrack to nature. Songs for Trees is a narrative, with each song guiding us through a journey through the forest, a trip. Literally and metaphorically about the interconnectedness of all things. The Vancouver Sun names it one of five albums you need to hear. Find out more at noreenbraun.com.
Are you interested in conversations about intersectionality? Listen to Intersections presented by CITR 101.9 FM's Intersectionality Collective, a show where we tackle a range of topics that impact gender, race, sexuality, and social justice, like anti-fat bias, understanding microaggressions, and racism in the food industry. Tune into Intersections bi-weekly on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. Each episode will feature either a panel discussion from the members of the Intersectionality Collective or an expert on that week's topic. So tune in and also check out our episode archive on CITR.ca/intersections.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff is Not the Right Place. Right now is training time. I hope everyone is having a great start of the day. Today in training time, we have a wonderful guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I would love to introduce myself. My name is Charlotte, and I'm here for training time, and I'm excited to be trained.
Yes, I think training time is one of the most coolest trainings that anyone can do, just because I love doing it. I think the opportunity to come on air is really cool. It's a very interesting experience. I still remember the first time when I went on air 2 years ago and I instantly fell in love, and I'm now hosting a show called Lean In with Jeff that I mentioned in the beginning. But yeah, how are you, Charlotte?
I'm great. I'm enjoying the cold weather that we've been having. Seeing some frost on the trees and the rooftops. It's making me feel really like I'm ready to lean into the festive season right now.
Speaking of weather, are you a fan of snow or no?
I love snow.
Snow, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think sometimes it's inconvenient, but the beauty of it kind of overrides that?
Absolutely. Yes. I 100% agree, especially living somewhere like Vancouver, where we get it so infrequently, we can deal with the slight inconvenience for those beautiful cold days. with snow?
We definitely had quite a bit of snow in the past couple years. I remember in high school, my senior year of high school, I had two or so snow days, which is quite a bit considering that we do not get too much snow. But when it does, it's a lot of snow. Do you have any Christmas movies or shows that you enjoy watching? It could be like an every year thing or just a classic that you love.
I've got a few classics. Home Alone, really, it hits home for me, pun intended. I think it's a heartwarming story about seeing family at the holidays and realizing what you have when it's gone. So I love that. And I would also say that Elf is another classic. I think it's funny. I love Will Ferrell. I love the idea that Santa's running out of Christmas spirit as the biggest problem we need to solve. I appreciate those movies a lot, and I watch them, I think, most years.
Elf is a great movie choice. I actually watch it every year, sometimes during the summer, because I just think it's a very great movie to watch.
Oh, I'm fully in support of that. Christmas movies at any time of year.
No, it's a great movie. And I think if I were to own a movie to have it under my name, I would definitely choose Christmas movies, because it's a yearly thing. You know, everyone's watching it every single year. You know, every time I watch Home Alone, doesn't matter how old I get, I'm probably still going to enjoy it. And I think it's really, I think holiday movies are just great in terms of bringing back the spirit, remembering what it was like in your childhood. And I think every year is kind of different. The way you see the movie, the what you feel. But yeah, no. Do you do anything in particular every year during Christmas time with your family? Any activities? Yeah.
I would say I come from a long line of cookie enjoyers, for sure. We make a lot of cookies. We eat even more cookies. We give away a lot of cookies, too. I think that's part of the magic of the holiday season is everyone's baking things. And oftentimes you end up with like baked goods from several different households where people have just given baked goods as gifts to each other. So that would be one. Do you have any favorite treats?
I think I would like to have a gingerbread man. I haven't had one of those in a long time. Treats wise, I'm not quite of a fan of Christmas treats. I don't know why, but when I was younger, I didn't really have too many Christmas. Oh, speaking of candy canes. I love the mint, but also because that's the most classic treat that everyone's kind of giving around in like stores or at school. It's just the classic Christmas treat. So then candy canes is kind of a nostalgic treat that I would choose. Have you ever made a gingerbread man before?
No, I have not.
I don't know even how you make it.
Well, I think you
it's the shape that matters.
Yeah,
the shape is key.
Yeah, well, gingerbread in it itself is, you know, not normally like it's edible, but oftentimes people don't really eat it because it's like the structural integrity is what's most important as part of the gingerbread house. So I feel like making the like gingerbread men cookies out of like an alternate, like not the same gingerbread, like just kind of like a ginger cookie could be more tasty.
No, you're right. A ginger cookie is definitely good. Would you consider s'mores as a Christmas treat?
Oh, I would not. I would not put s'mores in the Christmas treat category. I think the flavor, because the marshmallow and like associations with hot chocolate, maybe. But I eat s'mores in the summer when camping, you know?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I haven't had a s'more in a long time. But the last time I did, it was in a huge campfire, you know, grilling the marshmallows and then sandwiching it with the cracker and a little bit of chocolate drizzling on it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I would assume that s'mores would be a Christmas treat since it's marshmallow, it's on a campfire, it's warm. But I'd say that it's more of a yearly thing. Camping trips, I think that's a great dessert to eat as well. But yeah. Speaking of movies, are there any other genres that you enjoy watching as well, or a favorite genre?
I enjoy a lot of genres. I like documentaries, which feels like sometimes can be like the slightly boring answer, because it's not really like, it's not like a theme so much, right? Every documentary has its own topic, so I guess it's more the style. But I do really enjoy documentaries. I also just love a good, goofy, silly comedy.
Documentaries are great. Are you thinking of animal or like thriller or...
Animal and nature for sure. Not into the true crime or any of that kind of stuff. Give me the David Attenborough. Give me the all of the nature documentaries. I find them very fun, very fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, true crime, I would need to be in a very specific mood of being stable to watch something that, you know, scary. Animal documentaries, definitely something that I loved watching. I loved animal documentaries specifically that took place in the Amazon, you know, like reptiles I loved, or in Africa, like lions, land animals mostly. I feel like I kind of get a little bored when I see ocean life sometimes because it's just so big. There's not much action going on, I'd say, in terms of the predator and the prey. But yeah, I mean, changed my mind. Would you say that there's as much drama in ocean life compared to land?
Absolutely. You know, okay. There's so much going on in the ocean, and I think maybe we just don't know as much about what's happening in the ocean, so we maybe don't have the framework to fill in some of the gaps of that narrative. But I think ocean documentaries, everything shark related. In fact, like, I'm a big fan of like the Shark Week stuff, when there's all those like shark themed shows going on TV and stuff like that on, I think, on Discovery Channel or something like that. Anyways, love that. Love sharks in general. I think they're a very dramatic creature. And yeah, I think there's lots going on in the ocean, and you should give it a try if you're so inclined.
When I was younger, my favorite shark was a hammerhead shark. I think it's just the way that they're built, and their name is just so cool.
And they're kind of weird.
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. Yeah. Do you have any funny or any general facts about sharks that you have on the top of your head?
I feel like I don't. I think most of my shark knowledge is kind of mainstream, honestly. Whale sharks are not whales. They are sharks, as the name implies.
That is interesting. A lot of these animals, or some of them, are labeled with a different name of an animal.
And tiger sharks.
Oh, yeah. I think it's because of their whiskers, though. They have, like, the whiskers, I think.
Oh, do they?
I think so. Or something related to the feature of their face has some relation towards their name. Or sometimes these animals are chosen a specific name due to a very small detail that they have in terms of their physical characteristics or their like their mechanisms for defense or
It was nurse sharks. That's a thing.
Nurse sharks? I've never heard of nurse sharks.
They like, I can't remember. I had a book about sharks as a kid, and that was one of them.
That's interesting.
I can't remember exactly what they do. If anyone out there knows what a nurse shark does or why it's called a nurse shark.
Yeah, no, please. Speaking of animals in general, I think for me at least, the coolest thing that I find in animals is we as humans have it too, but I feel like it's just much more stronger in animals than compared to humans, is their ability to cure themselves.
You're thinking of like starfish, like regrowing and stuff like that.
Hippos, if they go into like an attack, they would have these massive scars, but it'll heal up in time. I think these little birds, they would come in and cure and eat the dead skin and kind of nurture the wound. We as humans have to physically go somewhere and see a doctor and wait a couple weeks for the results. And I just feel like for animals, it's just so cool how they figure everything out together. And they have this system as well. Do you have anything in particular that you love about animals that you seem that's very cool or unique or just cute?
Oh, well, definitely some... I really love monkeys. I feel close to them somehow. Like, I feel like I understand what they're going through when I see a monkey doing something. But I think my favorite thing about animals is seeing other, like, animal species kind of interact with each other, or seeing these kind of symbiotic relationships that exist between certain animal species that are, like, these relationships have gone back, like, thousands of years. And that's how they've, like, co-evolved and adapted to each other. And I think that's very beautiful, and something that I would strive to see more of between everyone and between us and animals as well.
The way that animals change over time due to the environment that they're in, how they're adapting to it, I think it's a very interesting thing as well. Monkeys, I saw a gorilla at the Toronto Zoo this summer. Mm-hmm. They seem so much like us. He was sitting down with his arm resting on his knee, and he was looking around, and I just thought, he looks so much like humans. It's just their gesture, the way they sit. I think it's a very interesting thing as well. And in one of my fiction writing classes, actually, this year, I wrote about a character named Bennett, who is an editor for a company that only deals with endangered monkey species.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was an interesting story. I didn't go too much in depth towards her job, but that was kind of the background information. But yeah, do you have any ending comments that you would like to make before we end off the show?
It's been a wild ride. We've talked about everything from weather to the holidays to animals and documentaries and movies. And yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming, Charlotte. I hope you had a blast. This is the end of Training Time. I hope everyone had a blast listening to us. I also have a show called Lean In with Jeff every Tuesday at 2 to 3 p.m. Please tune in. My name is Jeff, and I will see you all next week. Bye-bye, everyone.